This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to all you 7 billion inhabitants of planet Earth, one-fifth of whom are non-religious, and that's a lot of heathens. But I think we have taken the Genesis injunction to be fruitful and multiply too seriously.
Yeah, and be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Well, the earth has been replenished, folks. We can stop now. I am Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. I am your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves, as some people have called me. This is the November the 5th, 2011 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. The show is produced in Madison, Wisconsin. And we podcast and we broadcast in other places around the country, including in Atlanta, in Grand Rapids, in Monterey, and in New York City.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we're a national watchdog for state-church separation, and we work to keep religion out of government, as well as being the largest association of like-minded people who are free from religion personally.
7 billion people in our group?
17,000.
Okay.
And growing.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation, of course, works to keep state and church separate. And we are embroiled in so many fascinating actions that we're going to devote this entire program, to our non-devotional activities.
So first, I wanted to report a very major violation has been ended by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And that would be that we have finally persuaded the Federal Social Security program to stop a pro-baptism practice. And we first started writing letters of complaint in 2008 when one of our members called me up and said, my husband just went into Social Security to sign up and he produced a birth certificate. And then after he produced the birth certificate, they said, do you have a baptismal record? And when they said that, they objected. They said, well, that's personal and we've already given you the documentation. They were working on a computer program and they said, we cannot process you. You have to answer yes or no. So we wrote and said, okay, it's fine if you want to use baptismal records as well as hospital records and government documents to prove your age. But once somebody has produced a government document, you shouldn't be forcing them to answer whether or not they have a baptismal record. That's violation of personal conscience. And we have been struggling since 2008. And finally, we got a letter this fall after our staff attorney, Rebecca Markert, did a follow-up letter from the Social Security Administration saying that they were going to accede to our request. So that could affect a lot of people. And if you happen to be of that age, let us know if they're still doing this because it's a violation. And so we have a national, we've remedied a national violation. And then we also have an important victory to report out of South Carolina, where the Chesterfield County School District there had agreed to cancel a student assembly featuring a presentation by a faith-based drug rehabilitation center. This was in the New Heights Middle School in Jefferson, South Carolina, where we've had a whole host of violations, including the planting of Christian crosses on the lawn. And we have reported on Free Thought Radio how Christian rapper B-Shock took over the school. And we not only have stopped his future appearances, but now the school has agreed that the Bethel Colony of Mercy, which is self-described as having been missionaries to the addicted, teaching the victory of Jesus Christ over sin and teaching about the Bible, does not belong in a public school. So that's just one of many recent legal victories.
Last week, we talked about developments in the Freedom From Religion Foundation's victory that resulted in a cross being removed. And, well, it was sort of removed. It actually had one of its arms chopped off. And you can actually go online and see the water tower with a cross missing its right arm, which I guess is from one execution to another, a cross to a gallows.
Yeah, we were dealing with a very petulant mayor who was determined to ignore our complaints until we threatened to sue if he didn't take the cross down within 30 days.
This was the city of Whiteville, Tennessee. And here's some more coverage of that controversy from WCMTV Action 5 News.
Two West Tennessee towns are embroiled in a cross controversy tonight. One mayor went so far as to remove a part of one cross to avoid a lawsuit. Action News 5's Janice Rocha is just back from Whiteville with this story, all new at 10. Janice.
Well, an organization that works to protect separation of church and state based in Wisconsin is going after the water tower crosses in Whiteville, and now I've learned Somerville.
If they don't believe in God, they need to quit looking up.
Sammy Taylor is talking about this cross now missing one of its arms on top of the Whiteville Water Tower. A decision made by the mayor of Whiteville after an organization based in Wisconsin called the Freedom From Religion Foundation demanded it be removed or the town of 3,000 would face a lawsuit citing First Amendment violations.
I don't understand why they want the cross to come down. It should, you know, it's a symbol of all our religions, so should just let it alone. Let it stay where it was at.
Whiteville Mayor James Beller told me a woman's Baptist Sunday school group raised the money to put the cross on the water tower 7 years ago.
The only one who's complained is Ms. Gaylor at the Freedom From Religion, more or less calling me a nutcase.
But the folks in Whiteville are fighting back. There are now white crosses in the front of house after house after house. Roger Alston's Whiteville parts business has a cross in front of it, the same size as the one on the top of the water tower. The citizens of nearby Somerville might want to take a stand. The Freedom From Religion Foundation sent the mayor there this letter saying someone has complained about this cross. And the city attorney in Somerville is looking at FFRF's demand to remove the cross. He said if it gets down to a lawsuit, the cross might have to go. Live in the studio, Janice Broach, Action News 5.
So, Annie Laurie, did you actually call the mayor a nutcase?
No, I'm very careful not to do that. I may have said the decision was a little wacky. He spent almost $4,000 of taxpayer money to get a crane company, which he spelled C-R-A-I-N in his letter, to dismember a cross, which he considers to be holy. And so he's got something up his sleeves. We'll see. I'm not sure that he's warning us that this is like Phoenix and will rise again. So we're thinking that he's got some other plans. But it's fine if people put up crosses on private property. That's where it belongs. That doesn't hurt anything. It shouldn't be on a government water tower.
Well, that whole city is producing crosses all over their front yards as a protest of our, you know, of our victory there. Jesus said in the Bible, if you believe he said anything, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. So maybe that's what he's doing. He's cutting off the right hand of the cross.
Well, it's the most bizarre remedy for state church violation we've encountered, and I think the most reckless use of taxpayer money.
So did you like the news this week about our national motto, Annie Laurie? In God we trust.
Yeah, one of our local members, Michael Briggs, many of you may know, is a former alderperson and an attorney, called me up Tuesday night and said, say, I've got some good news. He was being sarcastic, telling me that the U.S. House of Representatives is playing political football with religion. And on Tuesday, they had this meaningless and yet very harmful vote, 396-9, to reaffirm that In God We Trust is the national motto of the United States. And also supporting and encouraging the public display of the national motto in all public buildings, public schools, and other government institutions. And this is the second time similar resolution has passed. There was one in 2006, which was also a year when Republicans controlled Congress. And this is very pious Representative Randy Forbes' baby.
So why would they have to reaffirm an action that they took in the past?
Well, this was aimed at Obama because he pointed out correctly in Indonesia that our motto is E Pluribus Unum. And they just don't want to let him forget that he did that. Even we have two mottos, and E Pluribus Unum is also the U.S. motto. It was chosen by a very distinguished committee of Franklin, Adams, and Jefferson. Means from many come one, celebrating our kind of united diversity. And the religious motto was adopted what year, Dan? Do you remember?
Oh, in 1955, right? 56, that's right.
Following a religious lobbying campaign during the Red Scare. And as we always like to point out at FFRF, In God We Trust isn't even accurate. In order for that motto to be accurate, it would have to say, In God, some of us trust. And wouldn't that be a silly motto?
So this was like a religious litmus test,
yes,
wasn't it?
Because the gotcha issue.
A gotcha. Who wants to be seen voting against God during an election coming up?
And we want to salute the nine brave naysayers. There was actually a Republican, Amish, Ackerman, Cleaver, Chu, Honda, Johnson, Scott, Stark, voted against it. And these are some of the typical secular supporters. And then there were two answering present. That was Keith Ellison, a Democrat from Minnesota, who's the only Muslim seated in Congress. And he understands, as a minority, the need for keeping religion out of government. And then Watt. I can't tell you from what state he is, but you can go look at our news release, ffrf.org news. It will tell you how your member of Congress voted and tell you how to contact them. And you should read the resolution because it's very offensive. It's intended to create mischief. And it's very important that people respond and educate. And this is not a country created on God. We have a godless constitution. And this is a religious right campaign.
This nation gives us the freedom to worship if we must. But then why does all my money have to say in God we trust? It seems religion is an offer I can't refuse. Is everybody crazy? I've got the free thinker blues.
That was Dan Barker singing the Free Thinker Blues. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan. We'll be right back with some more interesting victories.
I'm Wes from Alabama, and I'm on Free Throat Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're co-directors of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we hope not someday, but today you will join us at FFRF.org.
Last week, we talked about the Freedom From Religion Foundation's complaint to a Clay County, Florida school that has been promoting religion by advertising weekly prayer meetings at the elementary school flagpole. And now we have that clip of Annie Laurie's appearance on the national Fox News that ran last week on Sunday, October the 23rd.
A constitutional controversy is brewing at a Florida elementary school. It all started when Principal Larry Davis sent out a newsletter to his staff about a weekly prayer session held around the school's flagpole. In the memo, Davis quoted a pastor from a Christian website who says, quote, our children need God back in school, and quote, the First Amendment was for Christians, not other religions. A secular rights group, Freedom From Religion, says the prayer sessions are a clear violation of the separation of church and state and has asked the school district to end those prayer sessions at the flagpole. Joining us now to debate this, Annie Laurie Gaylor, co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and on the phone with us, the Reverend Ron Baker, who leads prayer sessions at the school flagpole. Thank you both for joining us to talk about this. And Ms. Gaylor, I'll start with you. What are your main concerns or objections here?
We had a two-part complaint. We let the superintendent know that a principal had sent a newsletter saying that encouraging teachers and staff to go to a prayer session before school, and quoting a minister saying that the First Amendment applies only to Christians, that we need to get the Bible and prayer back in our public schools. So we felt this was utterly inappropriate. And we also asked the superintendent to investigate the fact that there were weekly devotionals taking place led by ministers right before the school day. This is totally inappropriate for our public schools, which have a captive audience of very young children. We're talking ages as young as four in an elementary school. Our schools are here to teach, not to indoctrinate, and we need to keep children away from predators who would trespass on the school for their own agenda.
Okay, let me bring Reverend Baker into this, because you've led some of the prayers at the flagpole. Reverend, tell me, who is there? How involved is the school directly in this prayer?
Okay, the prayer sessions are before school begins. They are strictly voluntary. They are not in the general flow of students. We're outside around the flagpole. There are no staff or administrators involved. We're not there to indoctrinate anybody. We just feel an emphasis to be able to pray for the school safety and God's protection on the school, for the administration, each teacher, the bus drivers, the cafeteria workers, custodians, crossing guards. We just want to pray for them, for God's safety and blessing upon them. We in no way are doing any of those other things that were brought up, but Jesus encouraged his disciples to pray. I don't think prayer is an evil thing. I don't think it's an unnecessary or an unnatural thing. I think most of the families and most of the students would appreciate knowing that they're being prayed for, and that's strictly all we're doing. Nothing to be a hindrance in any way, to be a trouble-causing agency. Not anything like that.
Reverend, I want to ask you quickly, would you have a problem if a Muslim group or a Jewish group or any other group wanted to have the same kinds of prayers?
That'd be fine. That's what makes America great. We have that opportunity.
That's not fine with me.
Okay, Ms. Gaylor, let's bring you back in here. I mean, you use the word predator, which to a lot of people is going to, that's a very strong word. Explain why you would feel the need to use that particular word.
Children are coming to school as these grown ministers and flock, and they're encouraging teachers and principals to come, are praying very clearly devotionally. And that's obviously done for the benefit of the children. Why else are they going to school when they have tax-free churches all over the community where this minister can sermonize and he can pray as much as he likes at his church and privately on city sidewalks even, but this is on school ground. I think it should be obvious. We can't have strange adults wandering around the schools doing whatever they like as children are arriving. And this has a particular religious purpose, and it was promoted and advertised by the principal, who has said, quoted, that the First Amendment applies only to Christians.
Okay,
and this is the antithesis of our First Amendment.
I do want to clarify that principal has since said he was quoting someone else. We'll let folks be the judge of that.
He was promoting this bigoted and ignorant idea that our Constitution, our country, is not open to people except Christians, that rights only exist for Christians. What message does this send to Jewish parents and their children, to non-Christians? We are 15% of the population who are non-religious.
But we know that your organization, Ms. Gaylor, has asked that they stop, so we will continue to follow this and the response from the school district as well. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Annie Laurie Gaylor on Fox News last week.
And we did get a response, a very good one, from J. Bruce Bickner, who's the attorney for the school board of Clay County, Florida. And he pointed out that the principal approved this weekly devotionals as children are arriving at the flagpole, that he knows teachers are there, and that he made these inflammatory statements. And so he sent a memo to the school board and gave us a copy, and this is his opinion. Dan, why don't you read it?
From the attorney representing the school board. To date, the activities listed above reflect a government endorsement establishment of religion. These activities are prohibited by the U.S. Constitution. The activities by Mr. Davis, which clearly show endorsement of religion in violation of the Establishment Clause, include the following. 1. Inviting the minister to hold prayer sessions at the pole. 2. Involving teachers and administrators in the activity. 3. Using school resources to advertise and promote the activity to teachers and staff. 4. Allowing this to occur at the time when students are present first thing in the morning. 5. Allowing this to occur every week at a set time. 6. Allowing school employees to participate during their work time. 7. Allowing students to participate with teachers and staff in this activity. 8. Allowing the minister the opportunity to pray with students on the school campus. 9. Publishing an unsolicited newsletter to all staff and administrators, which was clearly designed to proselytize and encourage religious fervor and activity at the school.
So we are waiting for the final response from them, but it looks like we've got a very strong victory there. And that was a school administrator in Clay County, Florida. We will also, coming up, what's coming up?
Stay tuned. We're going to hear about a victory stopping prayers in Alabama County School District.
And an FFRF complaint resulting in a long-awaited election commission declaration that political robocalls by a Catholic organization in Colorado in 2008 violated the law. ¶¶
My name is Alex Wood, and I'm from Houston, Texas. I'm on Free Thought Radio.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And we're back. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We have ended a lot of state church violations in the last couple of weeks. A lot of them have been in the country, but they're all over the South. I mean, all over the South especially. And here's a victory from Alabama, where the Lauderdale County schools were engaging in football prayer, sectarian prayer to Jesus at all the school games. And this is a
story that ran out of WAFF 48 out of Huntsville.
Several parents formed a Facebook group called The Brooks Lions Will Pray.
Tonight, the group and members from the community gathered in prayer. WFF 48's Christine Pay went to that prayer event tonight, and she joins us live at Killen Park.
Organizers tell me more than 300 people showed up at tonight's event. People gathered around the tennis court to say that prayer. They followed that with singing several songs, and they tell me Lauderdale County schools should be able to say a prayer before games.
Hey, we're coming together to show that we all stand together in our rights and that we will not have them taken away and that we are standing together.
Lauderdale County Schools Superintendent William Valentine says he is working with lawyers on the issue. We're told that he will advise principals on a decision by Friday.
Today we contacted Jeremy Green, the person who filed that complaint about prayer, and he issued this statement. I would never try to take away anyone's right to pray, and I will continue to support the religious freedom of everyone, but there are certain times and places where sectarian prayer is inappropriate. Student or faculty-led prayer, when endorsed or sponsored by a public school, is unconstitutional and illegal for good reason. This protects the rights of the members of all religions and the non-religious alike.
Well, the Freedom From Religious Foundation sent a complaint to Arab city leaders last month. The pregame prayer there started about a decade ago. The superintendent banned the practice before Arab home football games and replaced it with a moment of silence. But the crowd says the Lord's Prayer anyway.
So not only did we stop that prayer in Arab, but now we have stopped the prayer since this broadcast in the Lauderdale County schools. And they were particularly pernicious because they were also taking place in what they called micro-midget elementary school football games with very young children. So rack up another victory for our legal staff.
Another interesting development, sometimes justice is slow, but is very sweet when it happens. Back in 2008, during the presidential election, we reported on a complaint that the foundation made regarding what we thought was a gross violation of election laws after we heard that a Catholic organization was blanketing the state of Colorado with political robocalls.
So first,
this is Father Bill Carmody, pastor of Holy Family Parish in Colorado Springs. I'm calling on behalf of informed Catholic citizens about the importance of your vote in this election. Regardless of the spinning that some politicians have done, the Catholic Church's opposition to the evil of abortion has always been the same and is crystal clear. Why is it important in this election? John McCain has a record of supporting life, but in the words of Denver Archbishop Charles Chaput, Barack Obama is the most committed abortion rights presidential candidate of either major party in 35 years. And the Democratic Party platform adopted in Denver is clearly anti-life. There are many important issues to consider, but as Archbishop Chaput says, every other human right depends on the right to life. If you have not already voted, I pray you will search your conscience carefully and consider all the information you deem important, and then vote like life depended on it, because it does. This message is paid for by informed Catholic citizens.
At the time, our attorney, Rebecca Marker, she was Rebecca Kratz then, and she got married since then, she wrote a letter to the Elections Commission, and this week we finally got a letter addressed to Rebecca Kratz responding to our request for an investigation into that violation.
3 years later, and this was a presidential campaign that they were going after Barack Obama. It was anti-abortion. It was clearly illegal. We had more than one complaint from Colorado. And look how long it took, but we got the letter saying this was indeed a violation. They're letting them know it. And within 30 days, we'll know what their penalties are. So congratulations, Rebecca, but we are going to be watching out for a lot more of this religious hanky-panky in the next year.
Then also last week, we talked about the big Jesus statue, which is on federal property in Montana, where we thought that we had a victory when we learned that the Forest Service agreed with us and decided not to renew the lease for that statue that's called a shrine, their lease by the Knights of Columbus.
And unfortunately, it looks like the U.S. Forest Department is putting up a comment section. If you can believe it, we're going to have a vote or something on a popularity contest on whether we should enforce the Constitution, the Establishment Clause of our Bill of Rights.
So they backed off and are waiting for public comment now.
Which is ridiculous, because this is not a majority will decision. This is a constitutional principle. So you can go to our website at fff.org and look under news to see whether that's gone up. We also have put up various links where you can contact the U.S. Forest Department, and where you can also, there's a petition to Barack Obama through the White House Bill of Rights Project that you can go in and ask him to direct the Forest Service to remove the shrine.
Just to obey the law, basically.
And this was started in the 1950s, and we have gotten vicious, vicious hate mail out of this by people who are claiming that it isn't even religious to have a shrine of Jesus up. And Dan, why don't you read some of that?
Well, this is just some of the mail we've been getting, and it's spelling and punctuation are not corrected on this thing. And there's a lot of expletive deleted here. F, you rotten bastards, don't come to Montana. Another one. Are you people out of your effing mind? Are you that stupid? Jesus is the only religion in this country of the United States of America. Another one. Keep your meddling, idealistic, left-wing, blankety, expletive deleted noses out of Montana. We don't take kindly to people from outside our wonderful state trying to push their crap on us. Go the expletive deleted away. Another one. You idiots! And there's about 26 exclamation points. When the flames of hell are on you, I hope you remember what you got, what got you there. Another, all caps. You are the minority, so shut the hell up. Don't pray. Live your life and leave the rest of us and our religions alone. Surely there's another country you can move to in which you will not feel so offended. I'll help you pack. Another one. One day you will go too far, T-O, far, and the majority, if Americans, will cook your butt. Here's one. Your honorary board are all a bunch of illiterate, expletive deleted, 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 deleted. More people should express their disgust with your organization. We can make you go away forever. Should I keep reading?
Yes, please.
Why do you think that a statue on a mountain in Montana has anything to do with establishing a religion? You are the vile underbelly of the earth.
A statue of Jesus couldn't have anything to do with religion.
No, it's just a statue of a guy.
Silly us.
Removing this statue of Jesus is a temporal thing. Revelations 9 says he, Jesus, is going to come back. I'll try to pray for you and ask that the Lord will free you from Satan's hands. Yes, he's real too. One says stay out of Montana. This one, leave Montana and everything with it alone, you a-holes. And yes, this isn't very Christian of me. I don't care. Don't stick your nose where it doesn't belong. There are no atheists in foxholes, idiot. Wait, I got to turn the page here. All right, maybe you think even clearer if I put my boot up your backside. I'm writing to you about Jesus statue in Montana. How dare you? Our country was founded by religion and God. Who do you think you are to take away that from the believers? I see where they want to refurbish the Statue of Liberty. What a joke. Spend all that money, because without God in our lives, we are nothing. This one says, F-U-A-H's deleted, deleted. If you don't like the customs and history of this nation, get the you-know-what out of my country. There are a lot of crazy people out there who are strongly offended by your big effing mouths. Caution would be wise. And then he puts a phony email address at the end of it, which uses the N-word at whitehouse.gov, which is obviously directed at our African-American president.
There's really ugly emails here.
Send someone to my house so I can kick his blankety blank expletive deleted ass out of this country. You dumb expletive deleted deleted mother deleted 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 ace deleted. Oh, anyway, can't read the rest of that one. You F word A. Okay.
What, do these guys all have Tourette's syndrome or something?
Stay the hell out of Montana. If one of your members ever shows up here, they will never leave. They will be planted with the statue. Well, is that a death threat?
Yes. Well, it's a threat.
Okay. Okay, here's the last one. Wow, how does it feel to be a traitor? That's what I consider FFR and ACLU and other organizations like you should not be allowed to exist.
Now, this is just a tiny representative sampling. They're coming in daily. And the ones that come in from Montana are saying, we don't have any right to chime in on this. Well, I'm sorry, but this is federal land owned by all of us. All of the people of the United States own that property, which has been, quote unquote, leased for no money for 60 plus years to a men's Roman Catholic club to plant what is called in the lease a shrine to Jesus. This is Christian. This is sectarian. We aren't saying take the shrines off the Knights of Columbus private property. We're just saying put it on private property. And just look at this kind of level of hatred. It's rather breathtaking. And this is what happens when government gets behind one religion. The people of that religion feel they are better Americans than the rest of us, and that we're outsiders and we should even leave, don't even have a right to visit Montana or live in this country.
So stay tuned. We'll keep you apprised of developments
in
this.
Yes, and look at FFRF.org under news to see how you can chime in, because it is a national issue.
I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're going to talk more about the Roman Catholic Church's opposition to birth control and its pro-natalist attitudes in an overpopulated world. Stay tuned for the last segment of Free Thought Radio.
Hi, my name is Alexa from Iowa City, Iowa, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And with the news that the Earth now has 7 billion people, I figured out that the 17,500 members of the Freedom From Religion Foundation represent 1/4 of 1/1000th of a percent of the world's population.
Well, so if we quadrupled our membership, we would have 1/1000th of a percent of the human race in our group?
Well, that's something. It's a start. Christianity started with just 12 people, so who knows what can happen with free thought.
This is a very, very concerning issue.
Of course, about 20% of the population are non-theistic, but 7 billion people. We were trying to invite Joel Cohen to be on our show today, but he's very, very busy. He wrote a wonderful article in the New York Times at the end of October about this landmark called 7 billion. And can I read a little bit of what he wrote
Please
in his
do.
Article? I'll just skip around here to some good stuff. Listen to this. The first billion people accumulated over a leisurely interval from the origins of humans hundreds of thousands of years ago to the early 1800s. Adding the second billion took another 120 or so years. Then in the last 50 years, humanity more than doubled, surging from 3 billion in 1959 to 4 billion in 1974, 5 billion in 1987, and 6 billion in 1998. This rate of population increase has no historical precedent. Jumping down, this view was fostered over millennia by the pronatalism of the Hebrew Bible, the Roman Empire, the Roman Catholic Church, the Arab thinkers like Ibn Khaldun. Mercantilists of the 16th through the 18th century saw a growing population as increasing national wealth, more workers, more consumers, more soldiers, enlarging the workforce, depressed wages, increasing the economic surpluses which were available to the king. So the more people, the more wealth the king has.
And the more people to kill as soldiers.
Today, and there's a lot of good news. We've improved a lot in the world. But some of the bad news is that nearly half the world today lives on $2 a day or less. In China, that's 36%. In India, 76%.
People live on $2 a day.
$2 a day or less. More than 800 million people on the planet live in slums. A similar number, mostly women, are illiterate. Some 850 million to 925 million people experience food insecurity or chronic undernourishment. Of the 208 million pregnancies in 2008, about 86 million were unintended, and they resulted in 33 million unplanned births. Human demands on the earth have grown enormously, though the atmosphere, the oceans, and the continents are no bigger now than they were when humans evolved. Already, more than a billion people live without an adequate, renewable supply of fresh water. The United Nations Population Division anticipates 8 billion people by 2025, 9 billion by 2043, and 10 billion by 2083. Africa will have more people than India by 2040. There's a lot more to read. Let me jump down here. Providing modern family planning methods to all people with unmet needs would cost about $6.7 billion a year. That sounds like a lot, but that's slightly less than the $6.9 billion Americans spent for Halloween this year. We must increase the probability that every child born will be wanted and well cared for and have decent prospects for a good life. We must conserve more and more wisely use the energy, water, land, materials, and biological diversity with which we are blessed. That's part of the article by Joel E. Cohen. He's a mathematical biologist and head of the Laboratory of Populations at Rockefeller University and Columbia University. And he wrote the book called How Many People Can the Earth Support?
And I would like to quote one of our members, Stephen Yule, who is a former Roman Catholic priest. He's going to be on a new billboard campaign in Tucson. He says, atheists work to make this world heavenly. I mean, this is the world we need to worry about and plan for. And so much of this is, the problem is religion, it's the Bible, it's Genesis,
Catholic Church's position on birth control.
Right, which bans birth control, abortion.
Do we have time for the song?
Yes, we do. So now we want to play the Stay Away, Pope Polka by Dan Barker.
Pope, Pope, stay away. Don't come back some other day. It's worse than a sin that we have to pay to hear you preach against the American way. Hope, hope, stay away. Don't come back some other day. It's worse than a sin that we have to pay to hear you preach against the American way. How dare you show your face in the great USA, where dictators like you are out of place. We believe in freedom and democracy here, and fairness for the whole human race. Now here you come parading in your pompous royal clatter, pretending that you govern the earth. But a million mouths are hungry while the church is growing fatter. That tells us just how much you are worth. Hope, hope, stay away. Don't come back some other day. It's worse than a sin that we have to pay to hear you preach against the American way.
You always say that woman is God's holy flower, but you really cannot hide what you mean. If you control her body and won't let her share the power, she just becomes a breeding machine. The world is overcrowded, they're dying of starvation, and you tell us what we need is a prayer. With just one word from you, we could control the population. But no, you're too religious to care.
Pope, Pope, stay away. Don't come back some other day. It's worse than a sin that we have to pay to hear you preach against the American gay. You think that we should cower to your great medieval power, but who the devil do you think you are? Anyway, since we can't put up with you, why should we put you up? This is really going much too far. You say to pray for peace while your Inquisition rages, and you push us to the end of our rope. We will never get away from the bloody dark ages till we've excommunicated the Pope. Papa, Papa, ya puedes ir. Todos no te pedimos venir. Si vas a predicar como debemos vivir, no queremos oír lo que puedes decir.
Okay, that was Dan Barker, Stay Away, Polka. My mother and I requested that he write a polka in honor of the Polish Pope that was visiting at American taxpayer expense in 1987, and that's a very distinguished chorus of Madison freethinkers.
That was probably the first time an atheist backup choir ever recorded an album. So thank you. And Annie Laurie was on that, and your dad was on that. We heard him too.
Andy Tarver, lots of people.
So thanks. While our show is over, we want to thank Dave. Thank you, Dave. Dave McCann is our producer, our engineer, and Buzz Kemper is our announcer. The show is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. You can hear all our shows. Go to ffrf.org/radio to hear the archives or sign up for the podcast.
And the classical music is always by a freethinker. I think we've been listening to a lot of
Prokofiev.
Who's this?
I can't tell.
Recognize it, but you can ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio.
Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday.